back in studio here in Leaders Portfolio, and I'm going to let you know who the winners were again for the Leaders Portfolio Awards, and that's because we have one of the winners in studio with us. Our Business Leader of the Year, 1 through 50 employees, Adam Pattisall, founder and CEO of Increditech. Business Leader of the Year, 51 plus employees, CEO of Catapult Technology, Randy Slager. He was on the show this month. He said he did $150 million in revenues. Rising Business Leader of the Year, Chelsea Nichols. Leadership Business of the Year, 1 through 50 employees, Encore Path. Leadership Business of the Year, 51 plus employees, High Performance Technology Incorporated. And we had co-winners for Leadership Business of the Year outside D.C. It was Video Horizons along with Murthy Law Firm. So in studio with us, founder and president of Murthy Law Firm, Sheila Murthy. Welcome, Sheila, to Leaders Portfolio again.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. It's always a delight and a pleasure to be here.
Well, we want to congratulate you. And, you know, you were, I said off air, but you were one of the CEOs who actually filled your application in while in studio.
And I was trying to be very efficient, Rebecca. You guys said tomorrow is the deadline. I said, hey, it's now or never.
and so, you know, you won Leadership Business of the Year. So I want to get in a conversation about some of the principles that you practice for your firm. Murthy Law Firm was a co-winner, as I said, in the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards, and is located in Baltimore, Maryland, with approximately 70 employees focused on U.S. immigration law. And Murthy Law Firm was a 2009 Ernst & Young Maryland winner. So let's get into this. What are some of the principles that you practice as a leadership business?
Well, I mean, the principles, most leaders, I'm sure, have some universal themes and commonalities. And leading by example, working together, rolling up your sleeves, believing in ethics and integrity, believing in hard work, and truly, truly caring about the client. At the end of the day, if we don't care about the client or the customer or whatever the term we use for that end user of our product, and if our goal isn't to give them as much close to 100% satisfaction, we're somehow failing. And you might think you're so smart and you might drive the snazziest car, have the nicest building, have the best lawyers in the country with Ivy League, you know, grads. Mm-hmm. It's not going to matter. We need people who truly care about helping people and making a difference in the lives of those we serve.
So will you not hire a lawyer who might be really credentialed, but they don't have that quality in mind?
Absolutely. We actually ask questions, not just lawyers, Rebecca. We ask that from our secretaries, receptionists, paralegals, legal assistants, support staff, including technology people. We ask them, hey, what's your take on U.S. immigration? Do you think that them foreigners are taking your jobs? I mean, what's your take on this? Do you realize America is a nation of immigrants? Tell us about your philosophy. Tell us about your background. Tell us about your family background. Why do you think immigration is important for America? So we try to, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff and really try to get people who genuinely care and recognize that the greatness of this country, at least is in part, to us opening our arms and our doors to the best and brightest from around the world and inviting them to come to our country and share of their talent, their time, their treasure, and particularly their creativity, if you will, because that's what makes America such a unique and great experiment in the history of nations. The fact that we have welcomed people from every continent, every part of the world. All we want is you to believe in the greatness, believe in freedoms, and really work hard to prove yourself, and success is going to come to you.
I'm going to kind of go back to this. It sounds like you have this, you know, you said you ask secretaries and you ask everybody, do you believe in the immigration philosophy,
yes,
pro-immigration philosophy? Did you learn the hard way? Did you hire somebody who didn't and it kind of came around to bite you?
You know, that's a great question. We have had one or two people that actually might still be lingering on from, I don't know how many, from, you know, 15 years ago, maybe before we start asking those questions right in the beginning, that we weren't sure about whether they were totally for it or, you know, a question that might come out in a group meeting or in an email about, you know, how come when there's unemployment we're dealing with this issue? And we've always said, well, that's a fair question. I mean, it is. I don't think there's any wrong question in this world. I think the only wrong question is the one that's not asked. And so we want to be able to honestly and truthfully say, mm-hmm, the reason that this exists is because there is still a craving need, that the unemployment among highly educated, specific skilled people, college graduates in certain technologies is still, there is no company in their right mind wants to pay lawyers and law firms and go through the incredibly bureaucratic and very, very time-consuming and difficult immigration law process unless a company felt that their hands were tied and they had no other option but to use somebody who was highly educated, who might very well have a U.S. master's degree in computer science or information technology from a local top Ivy League school that was ready to go back because they couldn't get a job. You know, but then we feel that those people still have positions, have jobs, because we do not have enough people in America for certain specific skill sets.
What's the So you talked about this kind of bureaucracy mm-hmm. for a company to get a highly educated, highly skilled person. What's the cost to get that person?
Well, it depends. So if you're talking short-term, temporary, something like an H-1B visa process, that can be anywhere for the legal fees tend to be maybe $1,500 to $2,500. Now, we're very, very reasonable. We're like the lean, mean fighting machine in the country. And part of the reason I think we've grown is we do give very, very good value to our clients. And that person, the employee, can be there up to 3 years for that $1,500 to $2,500 in legal fees. Now, the government fees on top of that add up to another $1,000 or $2,000, $3,000, depending on whether you wanted expedited premium processing, et cetera.
Wow, interesting.
But for the green card, it could end up being a good $5,000 to $10,000. But then you're talking about a process that could take 10 or 20 or 30 years for highly educated college graduates to get a U.S. green card. People say, why don't those damn people just go apply for U.S. citizenship? You know, like every person who comes in from some other neighboring mm-hmm. country could just pick up a U.S. citizenship. I'm sure they'd love to become U.S. citizens. First, you have to become a green card holder or a permanent resident, and that process takes 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And then you have to wait 5 more years after that 40 years to get your U.S. citizenship. To apply for U.S. citizenship, it then takes another year after that, 6 months to a year. So when people say, tell them to fill out those damn U.S. application or citizenship forms, there's no form to fill out. You have to go through the incredibly difficult, arduous process of showing that you have a U.S. employer who's willing to sponsor you, or an immediate family member like a parent, a spouse, an adult child, or you have to show asylum or refugee status or withholding of deportation, or you to be one of the lucky visa lottery people. So those are the 5 avenues for immigration in the United States. It is family, it is employer, it is asylum, deportation, withholding of removal, or diversity visa. Those are the 5 main avenues for immigration into the United States.
Is there a country where a lot of immigrants want to get into that country, but they have a much better, in your opinion, process for allowing those immigrants to enter it?
Well, the incredible thing about America, and I think it's a compliment to you and me and every single business person in this great country and this great nation and the freedoms we believe in, is we are still the point of destination that is the most favored country on earth. And to me, it's a huge compliment that everybody from every part of the world still wants to come here. I know we don't feel that when we're here. We're always mm-hmm. complaining and whining about problems. But the fact is, it's a darn good country, and we have a lot to be grateful and thankful for. Now, is there any other country in the world that has like simpler immigration rules? Every country in the world has simpler immigration rules compared to the United States. I have spoken and participated in international conferences with people talking about immigration from all over the world. The U.S. immigration law system is probably the world's most sophisticated and complex. Now, it is sophisticated and complex because, again, everybody from every part of the world wants to come here, and we have to have systems and quotas, limitations on how many people in terms of numbers and percentages. We have per country quota limits for immigration. I mean, it is a fascinating and extremely complex and convoluted process, which, again, I should be grateful for because it ensures my job stability.
Right, right, right. Interesting. Yeah, interesting. Now, I got a Forbes business quote for you. We're here with the founder and president of Muwerthy Law Firm, Sheila Muwerthy. And the Forbes business quote is from Charles Reed. Example is contagious behavior. Your thoughts on that?
Very interesting. Well, absolutely. We all as leaders lead by example. You know, if we lack integrity, the troops behind us are going to show their lack of ethics and integrity. And then you wonder why the people in your group are not highly ethical or upright or moral. So similarly, if you believe in helping and serving the client and always being subservient and always caring about people, in taking care of your own staff, your own employees, your coworkers, you will find that they treat each other with greater dignity and respect. I always say, when people complain saying my staff doesn't respect me, have we ever wondered why they don't respect you? When is the last time you've shown great love and respect for your staff? when parents say, my children don't show me respect, have we thought as parents, maybe we haven't shown our children the respect that they deserve? And so I always, in fact, just today at the attorney meeting, I mentioned that rather than complaining about anything in this world that's not working out for you, start asking yourself, as you're about to start complaining, what is it that I have done to contribute to this problem? And if this problem exists, how have I either exacerbated or helped to make it worse or even silently condoned that kind of behavior? And the minute we ask that, we start finding solutions to the problems because we then create our own solutions. Leadership by example is the very essence of all leadership. And every single leader who's worth their grain of salt absolutely needs to believe that. Whoever heard, I remember reading this, whoever heard of a sad, depressed puppy dog in a happy, frisky home, or whoever saw a, you know, frisky dog in a dull, morose home. And I think it's the same for leadership. You live by who you are and your values.
And we're speaking with Sheila Murthy. She's a master of laws from Harvard Law School, practiced with major law firms in New York and Baltimore, fluent in French and Hindi. And, you know, one of my philosophies is that private ethics is, you know, that's when you get to see whether someone's really a leader. So when you're in the boardroom behind closed doors or when you're with an employee, not when it's public or you're winning an award or anything like that. And so my thought is, so my question for you is, A, you know, do you agree with that? And how have there been examples of that in your life?
Thank you, Rebecca. I remember being very impressed with the quote once where I read, ethics is not what you do when someone's watching. It's what you do when no one's around and no one's watching you. In fact, just in the green room, I was talking to Chris and the others, and we were talking about how when I go to some meetings, especially in other countries, I find that people treat people who have no money or who are nobody with almost a little bit of disdain, and they look down upon them like, shoo, shoo, go away, because I'm like this hoity-toity, very important CEO. And I always wonder about what that speaks about that person, because in the eyes of the God, and I'm not a great spiritual person or religious or anything, but in the eyes of some greater being, we're all equal. We're deserving of equal dignity, love, and respect. And so whether the person cleans our toilets or is the CEO of a company making billions of dollars, it is totally irrelevant to me. Because we lead with our ethics and integrity in who we are. And I'm not sure that I care about who's watching or who's not watching. Sure, it helps if the people who report to you are observing your level of ethics and integrity and your care and attention to people and to the lives of your clients.
Excellent. And you do charity work. You donate pro bono services to the American Immigration Lawyers Foundation.
The tons of money and time. As you know, I was not just the Entrepreneur of the Year, but also the Philanthropist of the Year with the United Way of Central Maryland last year. And I know that compared to so many really, really wealthy CEOs, we don't make like hundreds of millions of dollars or anything even close to that. But we give away tons of money. Percentage-wise, we're one of the top in Maryland in terms of giving away to charity. And because I think we all forget, we're so busy working hard that we forget that we're not going to take it with us when we go. But we all sort of cling to it in this almost unhealthy fashion of clinging to material things and to money. I'm thinking of doing something, spending my life focusing on that, because I think really, really smart people forget very basic, simple things that even a five-year-old child will say, oh, come on, you know, you're in your 70s, work it backwards. Even if you've got 30 more years to live till you're 105, you know, start giving away your money and give it brilliantly. And I know Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, you know, have given away a ton of their money and are still in the process of giving it away. And I think we have much to learn from them. And maybe they haven't reached their full potential either.
Well, Sheila, I want to thank you for being with us in studio. And congratulations for winning the Leaders Portfolio Award. You're a co-winner in Leadership Business of the Year outside DC category. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored.
Excellent. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith. I want to thank these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio: Dennis Cole Architects, Wow Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly or leadership community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We'd love to have you. I have to announce a cancellation by Michael Stanfold, Chairman and CEO, Intersections Incorporated, had confirmed to appear with us, and I have to announce that cancellation. Hopefully we'll can get him on at some other point. I'd like to thank senior producer Dr. Ohlers and the production team. and I enjoy speaking with you each week.